working class women were treated and portrayed differently, even though it was women as a whole gender, a gender exclusion from the franchise. So all adult women. Within that vast number of adult women, there were very sharp class divisions. And it meant that those working class women who moved into a very active or sort of leadership role were portrayed or positioned slightly differently. And I think we always think of Annie Kenney, her image being orchestrated and shaped so she appeared in her shawl and clogs, where in actual fact, she came from a very sort of cultured working class family where they read Ruskin and Whitman over the fire at night after work. Selina Cooper, who became a paid organiser, as we know, for Fawcett's National Union. She was valued very highly in terms of her credibility with speaking to working class audiences, working class men at by-elections, for example, and was asked to sit on platforms. But even with her, who had a very strong sense of her own identity, there was a certain sort of positioning of her to give the National Union, in this case, credibility. And you can see her feeling like she's rather been told where to sit. And if you listen to the voices away from the public and listen to some of the letters or conversations between, in this case, radical suffragist organisers, certainly at least one middle-class suffragist wrote to Selina Cooper saying, "Don't let your class hatred come into your heart. We're all women equal in this." And of course, Selina Cooper knew from her lack of education, her brief schooling and her working life, that was not the case. And another working class woman who became a suffragist organiser for Fawcett's National Union was a woman called Ada Neale Chew. And she became a paid organiser the winter of 1911-1912. She would take her daughter Doris around, who was then aged about 13, and it would be staying in the houses when she was organising of quite kind of middle-class, upper-middle-class families. And Doris said that her mother told her she felt her mother was being patronised because her mother had to be paid for what she was doing, and these middle-class, upper-middle-class women looked down on her for that. And for Doris, it was going into a new world, and all she could remember when Jill Norris and I went to interview her back in 1976 was that these houses had a doll's house. And of course, she'd never had a doll's house before. But she was aware that her mother resented being patronised merely because she had to be paid for what she did.